want to ask a question this morning. What's on your altar? What's on your altar? You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for the tremendous blessing that you've given to us, life, health, a reasonable portion of strength as we get up this morning, as we come out to seek you and to ask for your blessings. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, help us to discern the things that we need to know, that we might do the things that we need to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, empower your church to not only be obedient, but to go forth and do the work that you called us to do. We humbly ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the believers said, amen. What's on your altar? You know, as we look at the subject of the altar, we need to understand, why is it important that we have an altar? We have one in the church. And usually we pay little attention to it unless it's decorated or unless it's filled with communion. Then we will say, okay, yeah, we've got an altar. But what does that altar mean? How can we get something from the altar? And more importantly, how can we bring something to the altar? Why is this altar needed in our lives? And the question that you and I are asking this morning is, what's on our altar? If we've got one, which I'm going to argue that every one of us has an altar, if we have one, what's on it? What have you put on your altar? And how's that going to make a difference between you and the God you serve? What's on your altar? Be thinking about that, because it's important. When you leave that altar, it will impact the way that you live. It will impact your life, how you relate to other people, your relationship with God. So if I were you, I wouldn't look at this as, oh yeah, he's a commercial break, you know, what's in your wallet. No, we're not talking about Capital One. We're talking about you and me. We're talking about the struggles that we have relating to God and relating to one another. The right thing on your altar will make all the difference in your life. It's an altar invitation that we have. Well, let's look at this. We've got to start with a sacrifice. Start with a sacrifice. You never go to an altar without sacrificing something, right? So let's look at a definition. This is from the Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. Something given by someone. So you got a gift. Then you've got a giver. And then lastly, it's generally for a higher cause. Christmas time, you give to people. You have a giver, you have a gift, and you're also giving it for a higher reason. You're saying, I love this person, I care about them, or they need this, which is that higher purpose. Now, as you look at a sacrifice, anything that does not cost you is not a sacrifice. In other words, if I'm just going to flip a gift, you give me a pair of socks and I'm going to turn right around, wrap them up and give them to somebody else, that really didn't cost me a whole lot. But when I start looking at the fact of, well, am I giving something that it cost me something? Now I'm looking at a sacrifice. I want to distinguish this, because many of us will just give these things without thought. And we'll say, well, you know, I gave to that person. Did you really? Was it a sacrifice? Now, let me give you a good measurement, one that will not change. When you start measuring your sacrifice, you want to look at what God has done for you. Okay? You don't want to start measuring, well, what did my mama give me? Your mom was good, yeah, and she needed to take care of you and all of that. But I'm not talking about your mama. I'm talking about this God that you're bringing this thing, or you're sacrificing, you're giving on the altar to this amazing God, right? And what you're saying is, I want to be able to bring something that is significant to him. Noah had just experienced one of the worst things that could have happened to the human race. Everybody got wiped out except them. Do you think he was grateful? Do you think when he got off that boat, he looked at all of the things that had been destroyed? He said, man, there are no people here. It's just us. And as he watched those animals come off of that boat, there are no animals except the one that were with us. Don't ever play with this thing called an altar. It's not a toy. It's something to be taken seriously. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Let me tell you something. Everybody sacrifices for something. Are y'all with me? Everyone sacrifices something for some purpose. Even the atheist. Even the person that says, I don't believe in God. You believe in something. The fact that you don't believe, you're doing something about it, and you're willing to show, I'm going to sacrifice to this thing that I believe in. Everybody with me so far? Everybody sacrifices. There was an article that appeared in the New York Times, and it was about this gentleman by the name of Patrick Tierney. He wanted to investigate whether or not there were human sacrifices going on, sacrificing of human beings. He knew that there were practices in the past where people would go to the top of a mountain or to the top of some structure, and they would sacrifice humans to appease the gods. Are you with me so far? And what this article that was actually written in the New York Times, January 7th of 1990, and the writer of the article was Tom Zudeman, or whatever his name is, he wrote about this, and what Patrick Tierney, the person who was investigating, found that in 1990, there were still sacrifices going on. They had what they call these persons or these religious leaders. The term that they're using was some type of shaman or whatever it was. And these people would actually lead in this worship experience where somebody was laid on the altar and they were killed to appease some god. Now, you cringe at that, and I cringe at that, but let me ask you a question. Are there not humans being sacrificed because of pleasure? When you look at child trafficking, when you look at how people are being exploited, how people are being used, I want to ask you a question. Is that a sacrifice? Somebody's giving something to someone for some cause. But I didn't come to preach about that. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about you sacrificing some other human. We're talking about what's on your altar. What are you giving to your God to say, Lord, I care about you? Does that sound reasonable? And I'm not downing you. What I'm saying is the altar is important. I'm not on your case today because I'm the first one that had to read this. Study it. I had to go in and dig deeper. And don't you think it hit me first a couple of times? And now you're hearing it. And so the impact is significant. I want to make sure that my experience with God means something. If it does not mean anything, I'm wasting my time and I'm wasting, guess who? God's time. I don't want to waste this time. I want to make sure that when I come in here or when I'm in another place or I'm behind the wheel of my car and I'm saying, God, I want to give something to you, I want to make sure that that means something. Everybody with me say aye. The ayes have it. All right, so here's some things that you can do as a wrong sacrifice. Paul picks this up in Philippians. He noticed that some of the pagans, what they were doing is that they were sacrificing to their appetites. And he said, their God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. You see what's happening? Giving something for a purpose But the purpose has nothing to do with God. It has to do with, well, I just want this, or I just need that, or I just would love to have that. Yeah, there's an altar involved, but the wrong things are being sacrificed. Let me tell you one of the motivations that you need, that I need for sacrifice. Noah came off that boat with one thing in mind. If it wasn't for God, I would have died. He told me to build this ark, and I did. And man, I'm glad I built that ark. If you were Noah, if you had just come out of that boat, and if you were looking at everything that now has to start all over, wouldn't you, first thing on your agenda, let me recognize God? Now, I know you're not Noah. I know you're not Noah, but some of you just came through a bad problem. Some of you may have just gotten out of the hospital, or you may have come through a circumstance that you couldn't control. And you can say with me, if it had not been for the Lord, are y'all going to help me today? See, you got to understand what he did for you. You got to understand that he was merciful unto you. He didn't have to do it. But the old folks say, I'm glad he did. He didn't have to save me, but I'm glad he did. So you see God at work. Now, here's the right sacrifice. When the Lord smelled that sacrifice, when he smelled the odor. Now, question here. Let's pause. Was Noah a perfect man? No, you read a couple of verses later that after Noah built the ark, he also built the vineyard. And when Noah built the vineyard, he took the grapes and I've made some grape jelly. I've got some grape juice, and all of a sudden he let the juice ferment a little bit too long, and he got some wine. Noah drank the wine. Ripple time. Yeah, he drank the wine. I'm sorry. Some of y'all said, what is ripple? Cheap wine. But he got drunk and was naked in his tent. And some of his idiot sons didn't know how to respect the fact that their dad was out of shape, and they got cursed as a result of that. Let me tell you something. These were not perfect people coming off the boat, but they were blessed people. Just like you and me, you're not perfect. Don't ever judge somebody else until you've looked at yourself. And when you've compared yourself to God and you say, wait a minute, I might be a little bit better than them, but hold up, let me go check this out. Let me get a true measurement of who I am as compared to God. And you'll find that you're nothing without him. So everybody needs an altar. Everybody needs to bring God a gift that says, God, I thank you. Everybody needs to recognize that he is Lord of all, and he's not Lord of all. He's not Lord at all. Just wait till the next time you get in a storm, you're going to see the value of an altar. Just wait till the next time, hold up, let me give a forecast. It ain't that far off. Because Job put it this way. He said, man's life is full of trouble. Amen? He comes forth as a vapor. You know, your life is full of trouble, but that's all right. I got somebody that when the troublemaker comes, I got someone that tells me trouble won't last always. I got somebody that tells me through every storm, through every trial, through every situation, he will not leave me nor forsake me. Yes, I got some bruises, I've got some scars, but I made it. And Noah can say we've been cooped up in this boat, but thank God we made it. And before we get out of here, we're going to make sure that we recognize that the Lord is God. I wish somebody would recognize in your life that the Lord is. You ain't God. You are not God. Quit playing God. Get out of his seat. Let him do what he needs to do. Quit judging folk like you know everything. You don't know their circumstance, and you certainly don't know their heart. Come on, somebody. I preach to the lights, amen. So we've got to make sure that people give sacrifices, but we also need to recognize one important thing, that when people don't sacrifice, when you don't sacrifice, you can forget something. When you don't say, I recognize the altar in my life. Now, I'm going to give you a shortcut. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. That's why we constantly talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Why y'all talk about Jesus? Ain't nobody else talk about it except him. So he's paid everything that we need to pay. And all we got to do is, in all your ways, acknowledge him, respect him, honor him, and just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for being that perfect sacrifice that satisfied the heart of God. And I want to recognize you as the perfect one. And now you're working in my life to make me what I ought to be in Christ. That's all you got to do. But you got to do that. Are y'all in the house? All right, so let me wrap this up and let's get into a couple of things. First of all, at the altar, everybody say at the altar. At the altar, something needs to take place, something significant. Remember, don't just bring your trash. You love it when you say, all right, we're going to have a food drive. People say, good, I got something on my shelf. I ain't eating. I'm going to bring it on. You know what? You ought to be shaming yourself even for even saying that. I thought the same thing, but then I thought about it. I said, wait a minute. Why am I going to give people something I don't want? Take your trash on back home. At the altar. Here we go. At the altar, something is completed. Independence on God. Not independent of God, but in complete reliance on God. Noah couldn't do a thing about that flood except build an ark. Guess what? The ark didn't have a rudder, nor did it have a helm. He couldn't guide it. He couldn't tell it, okay, let's go this way. Let's go 10 degrees to the north. That's the way we do when we get a problem. Like, we can maneuver. Like, okay, I'm going to go. You ain't going to do nothing except hold on. People say, God is my co-pilot. You got that thing wrong. You need to get out of the driver's seat, allow God to come in and to guide your life and show you where you need to go. Here's the point. The end of the flood had come. That chapter in Noah's life was completed. It's done. I'm preaching to somebody. I'm preaching to somebody. Some of you, you relive a storm over and over and over and over again. When you bring it to the altar, I don't need to tell you what the old folks would say. Bring your burden to who? The Lord. And do what? Leave it there. If it's a sin, guess what he's going to do with it? He's going to bury it. Well, it wasn't a sin I did. It was a sin of somebody else. All the more reason why I need to be buried. You don't need to bring your shovel and to bring your GPS and bury it and then say, okay, this sin was located right here at this spot. You don't need to do that. Look at somebody, tell them, bury it. If it's behind you, you know why God made history the way it is? So that your past, guess what, is your past. Your future is your future. Don't mess up your future by trying to, Lord have mercy, change your past. You can't change it. Am I getting too excited? I'm okay. Calm down. Breathe deeply. Okay. This is important. When God has completed a chapter in your life, don't reminisce. Don't go back. Move forward, because he brought you through that so that you could bring it to the altar and say, God, thank you. You're an amazing God. You brought me through all of that storm, all that trial. If the children of Israel, which some of them did, they couldn't get out of the wilderness because the wilderness was in them. It took another generation who didn't see the wilderness. It took a generation of those who saw the promised land was much better than what they were going through. Quit moping and groping about the things that are wrong in your life. Yes, a lot of things is wrong, but one thing is right. God woke you up this morning. It's called the future. Oh, man. Okay. All right. Calm down. Okay. But I realize some of the things that God has done in my life and how that I have a choice every time I get up. I can go back or I can go forward. And you know what Noah said? We're going forward. We're moving forward. We're going to trust God. We're going to ask God to do what no one else can. If he brought me through the storm, he can certainly take me through tomorrow. Anybody in the house say amen to that? You know, I was in a meeting on yesterday, and I was listening as people talked, and they said, well, we don't have this, and we don't have that. We don't have this. And someone at the meeting said, but we got each other. We've got each other. We haven't really taken a good look at what we do have. Quit counting somebody else's bank account. They ain't gonna give you a blank check. Why so-and-so over there got? Because it's theirs. If it was yours, you'd have the deed to it. Right? You're just being jealous-hearted. And God can't give you what's yours as long as you've got that in your life. Another sermon for another time. Thing number two, something substituted to save man. I had wondered why did Noah bring on board seven of every kind of clean animals, seven of every kind of clean birds, and only two of the dirty birds and two of the unclean animals? Why did he bring that? Well, the seven clean animals were brought on board because, A, they were your food supply. And some of y'all say, well, we eat plenty of stuff nowadays. You know what it's doing to you? You don't eat a buzzard, right? It's an unclean animal. It's unclean. And there were unclean animals. God said, I don't want you to eat them. Why? He wants you healthy. Oh, yeah. All right? He wants you healthy. So the seven clean animals were for food, but they were also for, watch this, sacrifice. God said, I want you to sacrifice. Now, why did he need to sacrifice? Because as the Lord brought out in verse 21, they were still sinful. They were still in need. They were still doing things that would get them in trouble with God. And so the altar was all about coming to God and saying, Lord, don't slay me because of what I've done. Every sin deserves punishment. So rather than punish the person, the animal was substituted. Sheep had to die. Why? Because all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And rather than to lay the iniquity on you and on me, God would lay it upon the sacrifice. And every time they would sacrifice, they would say, this thing, this animal, this bird is taking my place. I should have died, but I'm living. And it was all pointing to a one-time sacrifice where it would not be an animal, it would not be a bird, but someone would get up on a old rugged cross. They would hang him high and stretch him wide. People would mock him, but the mockery proved their sin. And all our sin was cast on him, present, past, and future. Every sin was nailed to that cross. It was pointing to the fact that God would one day provide his own sacrifice. So whenever you come to the altar, something has been substituted. Every time you take the communion glass, something has been substituted. Jesus said, do what? Do this in remembrance of me. I substituted. It's like a pinch hitter. Well, no, I'm sorry, God, it's not a pinch hitter. But you have somebody, you know you can't hit a home run. You can't make the play. You couldn't get into heaven. You couldn't please God. Neither could I. God said, I'm going to send you a substitute. I'm going to send you somebody who will pay for the dirt that you did. Somebody who is clean and I can accept them. They will pay not an unclean, but a clean vessel. Jesus was pure. Pure. no sin in him at all, no unrighteousness in him at all. He substituted for you. So now here you come with your stuff, gonna make your own sacrifice. God, I got you something. Lord, I brought you, wait a minute. If it ain't got Jesus on it and Jesus in it, guess what? You're messed up. You have messed up royally. Well, Lord, look at all I'm doing for you. Look at all the things, look at how wonderful I am. Remember the two people that went to pray? One was a Pharisee or a publican, and the other one, he was a right self-righteous man. He was a scribe, and he had everything going for him. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this person. God said, wait a minute, hold up. The other guy, he's over there, oh, God, please don't kill me. God, thank you for having mercy on me. And Lord, I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, only one went home justified, not the righteous person, not the right. Let me move on. Something substituted. Something is completed. The past is behind you. Something was substituted at the altar. Then the third thing, something is presented in worship. Something is presented in worship. Every time you come before God, don't depend on the choir to do for you what you need to be, what needs to be happening. I know some of y'all can't sing a lick. I've heard Reverend Givens try to sing. I'm telling you, but you know what he does? He makes a joyful noise. I don't remember. He's going to wear me out next time on the golf course, yeah. But he worships. And when I worship, don't tell me how I need to worship God like you. Your shoe don't fit my foot. My worship is not going to be like yours. But I'm going to worship from my heart because I love God. Every time you come to the altar, you have come for the sole purpose. And that's why it's so important for people to come every week. If you can come out to Bible study, come to Bible study every week. You're not doing it because of man. You're doing it because of God. This amazing God that you and I serve, he owed you nothing. He didn't have to get you out of bed. Didn't have to clothe you in your right mind. I hope you're in your right mind. Okay. God didn't have to do these things. And we have this opportunity at the altar to come and worship him. Amen? Almost out of time. A couple more things. I'm going to get out of here. So what do you bring? You bring yourself. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. That's what you bring. You bring yourself. Charlotte Elliott put in the words of the song, just as I am without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me and that you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am. Now, here's the thing. Here's the good news. When you come to the altar, knowing that you have really nothing except Christ to bring, when you leave the altar, you're going to leave with the fullness of God. You're going to leave with the power of God. You're going to leave with the amazing grace of God shown and demonstrated in your life. Look at what happened. The Bible says in verse 21, the Lord smelled the sweet odor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Now, Noah hadn't really changed, but he had done something that pleased God. Here's the thing. When you're walking with God, you sin less. Somebody, you just missed that one. If somebody's holding your hand and guiding you, right? You can't do but a whole lot of stuff. So when you come to God, knowing that you're sinful and you surrender your life to him and say, God, guide me. God doesn't say, okay, let me fix you up so you'll be a better you. It's like this total makeover. That's what we expect. No, God said, I'm going to trash that, and I'm going to make you into a new creature altogether. Can I get amen? And as he makes you this new creature, this amazing person begins to come up out of the ashes of your life. what you thought you could never do and what you could never become. God creates you in his image. He makes you a new person. And he also gives you what I call the blessing of God. Let's get into this real quick. Altar blessings. Everybody say altar blessings. Now you came to the altar, broken, messed up. But when you leave the altar, you're going to be blessed. All right, look at somebody, tell them, I'm going to be blessed. And by the way, what we do a lot of times, we speak curses over each other. Are y'all in the house? This is another sermon for another time, but never tell a person, you're going to never be nothing. How do you know, fortune teller? You ain't good at reading palms, you know? How do you know? All right, so here the altar blessed. God accepted the offering. He smelled that aroma. God said, you know what? This is pleasing to me. Never think that because you still have bad habits that you can't come to God. That's what the devil wants you to think.
That's right.
He wants you to think that because he knows what's going to happen when you get to the altar. God ain't going to leave you jacked up.
Right?
He's going to start speaking to you and helping you. God's going to walk with you, and he's going to say, wait a minute, you walking with me now. Walk straight. Come on. Square your shoulders up. Quiet. Come on now. What's that going on in your mind? Get it out. You thinking on me now. Hello?
Amen.
Old folks say he's a heart fixer,
yes. And
he's a mind regulator. So when God accepts your offering, he accepts you. Second thing. God answered the need. The need was for the human race to continue. It would have ended were it not for the fact that one man decided, I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to put everything on this little boat here, and we're going to be safe. At any point, that boat could have fallen apart except for the fact God was the glue. Y'all ain't you not helping me. At any point, you would have went crazy if it hadn't been for God, the glue in your life that held you together. When the storms of life were raging, you were anchored upon something that was greater than you. The Lord held you together. It wasn't the fact that Noah had built this amazing 450-foot boat, first cruise line, the Noah cruise line, all right? You know, only going to sail one time. And that one time saved the human race, the animal population, and the birds from destruction. What's on your altar? Will it be something that God can answer and meet a need? Then last thing, God awarded the blessing. I like the verse that says, he commanded the blessing. You know, sometimes when you know you need something, you don't know when you're going to get it. And then all of a sudden, God sends it. He commanded it because the devil didn't want you to have it. But when God commands it, can't nothing stop it. Amen? People can call you whatever they want to, and they can say whatever they want to, but what you're saying within your heart, I know what God said. I know what he promised, and great are the promises of God. Amen? You've got the blessing of God in your life because you came to the altar with something that God had said, bring this, and I will honor you. Everybody get that? So the question is, what's on your altar? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the tremendous blessings. Thank you for the awesome power. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. And Lord, we don't deserve it, but thank you that we have it. This amazing Savior who was our sacrifice, who was our gift. And Lord, so every prayer, every step that we take it in Jesus' name. And we move forward in Jesus' name, knowing that you will keep us. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've presented a question to you. If you have been convicted or feel a need to surrender your life to Christ, now would be a good time. Now would be a time to say, Lord, yeah, I want to move forward with my life. I want to make sure that I'm making the right commitment, that I'm sacrificing rightly to the Lord, and I'm honoring you. If that's you, I'm going to ask that we all stand. Maybe you're not a member of a church. You'd like to be a part of our church family. We'd love to have you. We'd ask that you come, if there be one today.